I've enjoyed preaching out of Jonah because I, again, it's a convicting book. And we're going to talk about something here today that's extremely, extremely important out of Jonah 1. And I titled the message, The Backsliding of Jonah. The Backsliding of Jonah. What caused Jonah to backslide? How did he backslide? What happened? Of course, you know what happened, right? But what about us? You ever backslide? You ever backslide? Did you ever maybe get away from God a little bit too far? You know, you get away a little ways. You read a little less, you pray a little less, give a little less. You attend church less. Amen. Amen. That's backsliding. Sliding back. We're going to get into that. Webster says this about to backslide. This is his definition of backslide. It's back and slide put together. That's awesome. Isn't that a great, great definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary? But then he says this, to fall off, to apostatize, to turn gradually from the faith and practice of Christianity. To turn gradually from the faith and practice of Christianity. The term backsliding is used many times in the Old Testament. Lots of times you see the word backslide or backsliding, or I think it's even used in backslider. It describes Israel's spiritual condition many times. We don't have time to look at them all, but Jeremiah 3, Jeremiah 12, several places, Jeremiah 8, Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah 49, Hosea 4:16, Hosea 11:7, Hosea 14, covers the backsliding of Israel, but it's also used in a general sense. So let me just quote to you Proverbs 14:14. It says, the backslider in heart. So where does backsliding start? Right here. It starts right in the heart of you and me. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. There's the backslider right there. He's filled with his own ways. She's filled with her own ways. It's, you know, it's my way or the highway. It's my way or no way. That's what the Proverbs 14:14 tells us. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now, the word backslide, you won't find it in the New Testament at all. It's not there. But it's, you can see it. You can sense it. And you know, even from an Old Testament word, you know that even today, 2,000 years later, we as Christians can still backslide. It's very, very possible. Jonah chapter 1, I'm just going to read a couple verses down to verse 3, and that's it. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. A word stood out in verse 3 and in verse 4 to me. What is the very first word of chapter 1 and verse 3? What is it? But. What is the very first word of verse 4? But. Listen, when you throw a but at God, God's going to throw a but at you. Amen? Because it says in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. What a blessing to be in church. Again, I pray that you'd bless the message. I pray, Lord, you'd use the Scriptures today to speak to our hearts. We pray also for the working and the moving and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Lord, there may be some backsliders in this room today. I don't know. That's up to you and up to them, Lord. I just pray that if there are some backsliders here, that you would make that clear to them. Lord, there may be somebody here today or some people today that aren't truly born again. I pray that your Holy Spirit would make that very clear to them also. Lord, you know our spiritual needs and you know our desires. And Lord, I just pray that through the preaching, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, I just pray that you'd use the Scriptures in a mighty way today and speak to hearts. Lord, we thank you and praise you again for so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you throw a butt at God and you say, but God, I don't want to do that, God says, okay, but I got a butt back for you. And that's what we see with Jonah. But God sent out a great wind. You can't get away from God. You can try, you can pedal as fast as you can away. You can jump in your vehicle, you can drive as fast as you want. You can jump in a ship, you can jump wherever it is you want to go. You can try to get away from God, you'll never be able to get away from God. I think Jonah knew that. I think he was a smart enough prophet to know that he could not get away from God, but he attempted to just shut God out of his life. He tried to just get away from God. He went in the opposite direction. And I'll tell you, Jonah is backsliding in chapter 1. He's trying to get away from God. Well, let me give you some, before I actually get into the three parts of the message here, let me give you some things on backsliding. What is backsliding? Number one, it's turning away from God in one's heart and loving forbidden things. I'll say that again. Backsliding is turning away from God in one's heart and loving forbidden things. Things that are forbidden, not by me, my standard, but by the standard of God's Word. And so we have a tendency to drift away from God. We have a tendency to turn away from God in our heart. Remember, I just read that in Proverbs 14:14. It all stems from your heart condition. Our backsliding state is. In 1 Kings 11:9, it says this, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Solomon was one of the most godliest men when he started his ministry. He was the wisest man ever, other than Jesus Christ, right? I mean, a wise man. I had the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. And yet the Bible says in 1 Kings 11:9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. I mean, here Solomon literally, apparently, saw God when God spoke to him audibly and appeared to Solomon, and yet he turned away from God. And you and I sometimes sit there and say, yeah, but that never happened to me. You have no clue what would happen to you. If Solomon can turn his heart away from God, so could you, so could I. We have to be so much, every single day of our life, we have to be on guard. And so it's turning away from God in our heart and starting to love things that you know is not right. You know that you shouldn't do that. Or to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. You know what you should be doing and you're not doing it. You're backslidden. I'll just tell you. Number two, it's leaving one's first love for Christ. Christ accused the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 of departing from their first love. That first love was Jesus Christ. That church of Ephesus was a loving church. It was an amazing church. But by the time we get to Revelation chapter 2, and we start to see some things that are going on in this church over the years, they started to drift away from the truth of God's Word. Do you know that churches can backslide? If people can backslide, the church can backslide and get away from the Word of God. The church of Ephesus was a church that Jesus Christ rebuked because they, the church, left its first love. If we're not careful, church, we could lose our first love. If you're not careful, individual, you can lose your first love. And so it's leaving one's own first love. Number three, backsliding is failing to walk in the light in fellowship with God. You're failing to walk in the fellowship of God. 1 John chapter 1 really says it so clearly and plainly. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Let me go back to verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So it's lacking that fellowship in our life. So the question today, and don't say anything out loud, is I know this is a little hard, a little tough, but are you backslidden today? And you know the answer to that. You know if you're backslidden or not. The thing is and really the first point of the message, and I'll get to it in a minute, is to realize that you're backslidden. If you don't realize, if you don't think you're backslidden, and you are backslidden, you're not going to change. We have to understand it. I believe as reading Jonah in Jonah chapter 1 and what he was doing as he was trying to get away from God, and I wrote 8 things down that affected Jonah's backsliding, and these affect all of us as we look at this. But Jonah, I believe, was 100% backslidden here in chapter 1. 100% backslidden. God told him to do something. He says, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to go and do my own thing. And so that's a big deal. Now, there's a lot of confusion today about distinguishing between what is a hypocrite and what is a backslider. Sometimes people that are backslidden, Christians that are backslidden, are accused of being a hypocrite. A hypocrite in the Bible is somebody, according to the New Testament, is not truly born again. Jesus covers that very clearly in chapter 23 of the book of Matthew. You read the entire chapter of Matthew and you're going to deal with Jesus over and over and over again deals with hypocrites. They're all religious hypocrites. They're all the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, and none of them were saved. And so when we look at a hypocrite, the definition of a hypocrite is very simply this. He is a pretender, or she is a pretender. They're pretending to be a Christian. Pretending. You know, I believe the actual definition of the word hypocrite is an actor. Hollywood is full of them. Amen. What are they? They're actors. Basically, they're all hypocrites. They're pretending to be something that they're really not. That's what a hypocrite is. A backslider is not a hypocrite. A backslider is simply, you've gotten away from and gotten out of the fellowship of God, and you've slipped back, you've slipped to the side, you've done something to get out of the fellowship of God. And so we have to understand that a backslider is a person who has fallen into sin. That's a backslider. You've fallen away from God and you've fallen into sin. A backslider is a genuine Christian. I believe that with all my heart. Somebody that's backslidden is a Christian. They're born again. You're going to heaven. But you're not obeying God 100%. You've gotten away from God. You've closed up His Word, or you've shut your life down to going to church, or you're not praying anymore. You're not doing the things that God... You know that God wants you to do things, and yet you don't do it. Listen, let me just say this. With love, you are backslidden. You are backslidden. Backslider is a saved, a believer, a saved person that's been overtaken in some sin or sins. I know you don't like to hear this, and I don't really care to preach it, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart. So take it or just take it. He or she is a child of God living outside of the place of blessing. God can't bless a backslider. God can't, won't bless a backslider. Think about that. Does God want to bless you? Absolutely, 100%. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He just wants to be there for you. But if you've decided to go your own way, it's like sometimes God just does this. Okay. Go ahead. Do it. Call me when you need me. That's not the way it should be, though. You don't call God when you need Him. You call God. You call on Him every day. Do you ever just spend time thanking God for the air you breathe, the sunshine, the water you drink? Do you ever just thank Him for all the good things He's done for you? Well, I can't think of a whole lot of good things that He's done for me. God forbid that you would even have that attitude. He has done so much for you. You ought to be so grateful and thankful that God is even willing to save your soul. A backslider is a Christian whose heart has grown cold and uncaring. You don't care about the things of God. You don't care about the church. You don't care what goes on at church. You don't care about your brother or your sister. You don't care if somebody has a need. You just, you know, hey, it's my life. I'm living it the way I want. That's a backslider that has no care for anybody else outside of their own little four walls or their own little life. A backslider is one whose life has become loose or worldly. I'll amen myself. A backslider is one who has left their first love. A backslider is one who has been overtaken by sin or sins of some sort. A backslider is a child of God out of fellowship with God. That is a backslider. The examples of the Old Testament are, number one, Israel's an example of that. God's chosen people backslid. I don't know how many times they backslid, but they backslid a lot. They fell away from God, and God would, after they got in all kinds of sin and trouble and all kinds of horrible things, they'd cry out to God, and where was God? He was right there to help them. Thank God for that. Elijah is another example of a backslidden prophet. Has an amazing victory on Mount Carmel, and what does he do? He gets word that Jezebel is sending out the Gestapo to get him, and he runs for his life, and he gets all discouraged and depressed, and he goes and he sits under a juniper tree. He finds a cave where he can go into. Men, be careful of men caves. Man caves. Yes, yes. That's where Elijah went. He went to his man cave. And God had to meet him there in a man cave. He had to tell him, what are you doing here? That's just a little. I just thought I'd throw that in out there for you. Peter. How about Peter in the New Testament? Denying the Lord three times? Would you say that maybe Peter had backslid a little bit? A little bit? He backslid a lot. He got away from God a lot. He denied the Lord. He cursed and swore that he even knew God. You say, well, can Christians get to the point where they actually do some cursing and swearing? Yeah. Yeah. Shame on you. Shame on you if you ever curse, take the Lord's name in vain, or say some other curse word that's out there. Shame on you. But it does happen. Christians that get away from God, things just slip out of their mouth. Backsliders, things just slip out. Oh, what did I say that for? I'll tell you why. You're backslidden. Amen. See, I've been there. I know. Let me give you some, I think I wrote down eight things. Yeah, eight things about Jonah here that we see. Just jot these down. I'm not even getting into the actual message yet, but these are just Jonah's backsliding. How did Jonah backslide? Well, first of all, we see that he ignored God's word. When God gave his word, he ignored it, right? God says to Jonah in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, we've already talked about in the messages here why I think that Jonah had some a horrendous judgment or prejudice against the Ninevites. We already talked about that. Don't have time to get into that again. He hated them. He couldn't stand them. He despised them for whatever reason. He couldn't stand the thought of a Jew going off and witnessing to a whole bunch of Gentiles. That normally didn't happen in the Old Testament. I've already told you that. In the New Testament, we see Jews going out and witnessing and Gentiles going out and witnessing, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. But you don't see that in the Old Testament. And so here, he's told to go to Nineveh several hundred miles one way, and he decides to go and he ignores God in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee. And so number one, he ignored God's word. That's what happens to you and I when we backslide. You know what we do? We ignore God's word. Amen. Been there. You ignore God's word. And you actually disobey the word of God. The Bible says one thing, you do something else. You do the opposite or you do your own thing. That's what happens when we backslide. I say we. I want to make sure you understand. I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching to me and you. Yeah. And so he ignored the Word of God. Don't ever ignore God's Word. If it tells you in that book to do something, you are obligated. Obligated. Listen to me. You're obligated to do it. But we have so many Christians today. We talked about this in Sunday school. Christian in name only. They think they can just live their life any old way they want to live it. Shame on us. Number two, the second thing that we see in Jonah's backsliding is he rose up to flee. He literally fled. He wanted to get out of the presence of God. He went in his own direction. You know what Jonah did? He ended up doing what he wanted to do. It's called convenience over conviction. Convenience over conviction. We live in a society today where Christianity has become a convenience. It's only a convenience. And that's kind of the way Jonah was. Jonah rose up to flee. He wanted to go in his own direction. Remember, he did not go in the direction that God told him to go. God said, go east. Where's he going? He's going west. And then eventually north to go to Spain. That's what Jonah wanted to do. He said, I'm going to do my own thing, God. I'm going to go in my direction, the way that I want to go. And that's what we do when we backslide. We say, God, I know you said that I should do that, but I'm doing my own thing. When you say you're going to do your own thing other than God's thing, you're backslidden. I'm just shooting straight today, okay? Number three, try to get away from the presence of God. Right? Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, what? From the presence of the Lord. He says, I want to get away from God. I don't want to be around God. I don't want to be around God's people. I don't want to be in the house of God. I don't want to be around the book of God. I don't want to be around God. When you're backslidden, you don't want to be around God. You want to get away from God. Jonah's saying, just let me get out of here. Let me just go. So he tried to get away from the very presence of God. And of course, we know you can't get away from the presence of God. Go ahead and try, Christian. You can't get away from God. You can jump into the next spaceship that's going to space and you're going to say, well, I'm just going to get away from God. I'm going to Mars. I'm going to the moon. I'm just going up in space. You can't get away from God. No matter where you go, I'm just going to go and live in a little house somewhere in the woods. Well, God will be there when you get there. Amen. I'll just move out of state and go, God will be there when you get there. You can't get away from God. You can't get away from the presence of God. Jonah thought in his backslidden state that he could get out of the presence of the Lord, and that's what he tried to do. He tried to get away from God. You can't get away from God. He goes, if you're saved. Now listen, if you're not saved, then you know what? The Holy Spirit's not living within you. But if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is living within you. So everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit, God goes with you. Everywhere. Everything you do, the way you think, the way you talk. Boy, God listens. God knows every word you say. Every word that comes out of your mouth, God knows. Every action that you take, God knows it. So he tried to get, number three, he tried to get away from the presence of God. Number four, he went down to Joppa. Did you see that? He went down to Joppa. Backsliding is always a downward way. It's always a slippery slope downward. Look at Samson's life. Look at Saul's life, King Saul. Look at David, his life, his backsliding. Look at any of them. It was always a slippery slope. It started out, they were doing good. Now remember, Jonah was a prophet of God. I believe that he had some mountaintop victories in his life. But here he's in a valley. Well, he's going below the valley. He's going into a whale's belly here soon. But again, we see that it's going downward. A backslider is heading down. You're not heading up. See, remember, when we head up, we're heading towards God. When you're heading down, you're in a backslidden state. You're going down. Things are getting worse in your life. Things are happening in your life. And we don't understand. Why is this happening to me, God? Why does this happen? So many Christians ask God that. Why does this happen to me, God? Well, are you headed upward or are you headed downward? Jonah went down to Joppa. He didn't go up. He went down to Joppa. It's a slippery slope, folks. It doesn't happen just instantly like that. It's a little bit less Bible reading, less care about the things of God. You could care less if you even come to church. I don't care if I go to church or not. Christians will, miss weeks and weeks of church, and it's like, it's no big deal. That's a slippery slope. I've seen many, many backslidden Christians. They used to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Then they eliminate the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Then they eliminate the Sunday night. And they still come Sunday morning. But whatever happened to all of those services? See, it's a slippery slope. You start off little and you don't even notice. You don't even realize. Yeah. Listen, in the past when I had backslidden, I didn't even realize I was backsliding. Amen. But all of a sudden, it caught up to me, and I said, you know what? I'm backslidden. Amen. Number five, he found something other than what God wanted. Look what happened. And he found a ship going where? Come on, help me out here. We're going to be here a long time if you don't help me out. He found a ship going to Tarshish. Where's it? It's going in the other direction. So number five, he found something other than what God. God said, go to Nineveh. And when you look at, if you know your geography of that area, there was no ship involved. There was no water involved. He's heading east. He's going to Nineveh. He's going east. when he's going west, he's got to get into a ship, and the ship's got to take him to Spain. And so he's going, he found something other than what God wanted for him to do. God says, go to Nineveh. He's getting in a ship. He found a ship. I think I've said this before. When it says he found a ship, apparently he was looking for some excuse to get on a ship and get out of there. He was looking. He was thinking. That's what a backslider do. Let's see. What can I do this Sunday to stay out of church? Or what can I let in my life to keep me out of church? What excuse can I use to keep me out of the Bible? What excuse can I use to not pray? What excuse can I use not to give? What excuse can I, you know, there's always something. And that's what Jonah was doing. He was finding another way other than God's way. And when we backslide, we find some other way that God says no. No. Number six, he paid the fare. See that? Found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. You know, if he had just done what God told him to do, it wouldn't have cost him so much. I don't know what it cost him. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us what it cost him, but I'm sure that that was not a cheap fare to get on this ship, travel several hundred miles through the Mediterranean up to Spain. That was a costly thing. Not only did it cost him some money to buy the, it cost him time. It cost him time in the whale's belly. He literally dies in the whale. God has to resurrect him. He travels in the whale for 3 days and three nights, and he's vomited out of the whale. Then he ends up going where he was told to go in the first place. Wouldn't it have been easier, Jonah, if you just obeyed God in the first place? Wouldn't it be easier, Christian, just to obey God in the first place? Instead of you wanting to do your own thing and go your own way and get involved in your own life, whatever it is that you want to do, and then you've got to pay the fare of that? I have this written in my Bible, five different things about that. Sin will always cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will always take you further than you wanted to go. Sin will always keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Sin will always bring you trouble that you never expected. And sin will take you places that you don't want to go. He paid the fare. How many times could we give testimony today that we Christians paid a fare for our backsliding? We paid a fare for our sin. It cost us something. Amen. Then the seventh thing we see is he went down into the ship. Again, that slippery slope going down into the ship. And I don't believe that Jonah... Now, yes, Jonah did this knowingly and all of that. But again, these are steps that we have to look at to see, have maybe we followed the same ladder? Have we done the same thing ever in our life? But he went down into the ship. And then it says there, a little later on, that he was asleep. A backsliding Christian loves to just sleep. I don't mean not necessarily physically. I'm talking spiritually. We have a lot of Christians today that are backslidden that are asleep on the things of God. They need to be awakened. Awakened, that's the word I'm looking for. They need to be awakened. They need to wake up. They need to rise up. They need to realize what they're doing. Listen, when you come to the realization that you have backslid, the very next thing you do is you've got to awake out of that backsliding condition and get right with God. That's what I've had to do in the past. Isn't that what you've had to do if you've ever backslid? You've got to wake up out of your sleep. You're spiritually, you're not dead in your trespasses and your sins, but you're spiritually awake, or you're spiritually asleep, or you're spiritually dozing off constantly to the things of God. And so these are eight things that happens to so many of us when we allow ourselves to backslide. Ignore God's word. Get up and flee. Go do your own thing. Maybe it's more convenient for you to do other things than to do what God wants you to do. Try to get away from the presence of God. Went down to Joppa. Backsliding is always says downward way. It's a slippery slope. Found something other than what God wanted. Paid the fare. Went down into the ship and was asleep and needed to be awakened. That's what happens in backsliding. Point number one, that's all introduction into the message. Number one is the cause of backsliding. What causes backsliding? I've covered some of it already, so we're going to kind of move along pretty quick. But the causes can be really summed up in one little word. Starting with S, ending in N. Let's see, what's the middle letter? I. That's the problem. It's I. You know, sin is always the problem with I. Sin is always the problem with me. My sin is not your sin, and your sin is not my sin. Sin is all about me, right here. It's all about me. It's all about you. So the cause of backsliding is very simple. It's sin. Now I can move on to point number two, but let's cover that just a little bit. All right. What kind of sins are there? There's the sins of the Spirit. What are the sins of the Spirit? Well, things like not praying like you should. Pride is a major problem with our backsliding. Not reading your Bible is a sin of the Spirit. Not attending church regularly. I say regularly, I mean more than maybe what you're doing. For some reason, I wrote down pride again. Why did I do that? Because that's the problem. Pride. Not caring for the lost is a sin of the Spirit. And then I wrote down pride again. Pride is a problem. Envy, jealousy, bad attitude is a sin of the Spirit. Disobedience to God. Lack of love. Pride again keeps... I wrote it down. You can look at my notes. A lack of faith is a sin of the Spirit. Unforgiving attitude is a sin of the Spirit. And little care for the things of God and the church is a sin of the Spirit. Little care for the things of God or the things of the church. Now, some of the sins of the flesh are very obvious. Bad habits. Amen. Smoking. Bad for you. What are you doing that for? You're sucking in smoke into your lungs. You're destroying your body. That's an obvious sin of the flesh. You are literally killing the flesh that God has indwelling you. When you smoke, the Holy Spirit is smoking. I don't know if that's true, but I just thought I'd throw that out for something to think about. But that's a bad habit. I understand. You need to stop that. You need to quit that. It costs so much money to smoke nowadays. I'm amazed at the amount of money that people pay out for a pack of cigarettes or a carton of cigarettes. It's like, how can anybody on a fixed income afford cigarettes? $10 a pack for a name brand. $10. How many packs are in the carton? Quick. Tens. I know who smokes in here now. Thank you. Thank you. I've wondered. I smell the smoke when it comes in. Now I know who it is. No, I'm just kidding. 10 packs of cigarettes, $10 a pack. Do the math. $100 for a little carton of cigarettes, and you're burning it up. And then when you run out of money, you come looking for money for somebody to lend you. Listen, quit smoking and you'll have lots of money. Here's another one I wrote down. Sins of the flesh. Drinking alcoholic beverages. Amen. To me, it's wrong. I talked to a Christian friend the other day. He didn't see anything wrong with drinking. We got to get into another discussion. That's for sure. Nobody in this church. Somebody that I work with. But that's good. That's fine. All right. How about Chick-fil-A? We went there the other night. Is that... That's good for you. Man, Chick-fil-A is good. That's good. That's good. That's good. You got to go to Cicero or you got to go to... But here, let me get back to the message. Stop interrupting me, please. Lusts and sinful desires are of the flesh. Lusts and sinful desires. Movies. Bad ones. R-rated. PG-13. Even PGs nowadays are not fit for a Christian to sit down and watch. You got movies like that in your house, you ought to burn them. You ought to get rid of them. You ought to break those DVDs. Amen. Immorality is a sin of the flesh. Living together today. We could go on and on and on. We could just spend literally, I'm almost done for today, but we could spend a lot of time on this. How about, here's another thing to think about, is not only the sins of the Spirit, the sins of the flesh, but how about the sins of worldliness? The sins of worldliness. We are commanded and demanded in the Scriptures in 1 John chapter 2 not to love the things of the world. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I got to read it again because some of you didn't get it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It means that you push God out with your things. Your things in your life and your money and your possessions are more important than God. That can cause backsliding. Loving all the things that you have. Loving your toys. Loving your time. Loving your pleasures. That worldliness can be a detriment to Christians. And so often today we see that it is a detriment to Christians today is this worldliness that we live in, this world that we're living in, and the things of this world. We value the things of this world way too much. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I was just reading this the other day, and I thought about this again. It's not the earth that we know it. The world's system, the world's wickedness, that's going to pass away someday. So why do we spend so much time and effort and money on the things of the world and so little on the things of God? We have Christians that will buy all kinds of stuff but won't tithe. Spend all kinds of money on stuff and not give the missions. There's a problem there. There's something wrong. That we can spend our money on other things, but God is like... I mean, how are we going to support 49 missionaries without the giving of all of us in here? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Demas had a problem. His problem was he backslid on God and he loved the world so much that he left Paul and left the things of God. Worldliness has caused many a Christian to backslide. I'd rather do this on a Sunday. I'd rather go wherever, camping, boating, hunting, whatever, instead of going to the house of God on the Lord's Day. We can go off and do other things on a Wednesday night and not even think about missing church. Amen. We can go off and go shopping on a Sunday afternoon, but we can't come back to church on a Sunday night. See, there's some things there that I know I'm getting a little upset, but we've got to think about this, folks. Jonah had a serious problem. It got him in serious trouble with God, and I'm just trying to stop us from getting in serious trouble with God ourselves. You need to stop and check again your life. Check what it is. What is going on in your own life? What is it that has caused your backslide? Please understand, I'm not accusing anybody of being a backslider here. I will say that if the shoe fits, put it on. But maybe there's no backsliders in here. This message is null and void. Maybe this was my own doing. Maybe the Lord had me preach it for my own sake. I don't know. Maybe there's no backsliders in this room whatsoever. I don't know. But folks, I think that this message is helpful to all of us. And let me say this. If you're not backsliding, make sure that you don't do anything to cause your backsliding. Isn't that good? So I make sure I want to cover you too, because I know there's so many in here that's not backslidden or everything is just hunky-dory, as they say. Everything is fine and dandy. Hey, I'm Mr. Super Christian or Mrs. Super Christian. I do everything right all the time. Praise God for that. And so, the cause of backsliding can be a number of things. Maybe one thing, and maybe a whole list of things that can come in. See, that's where personalizing the Word of God and personalizing a message like this, you know what has caused maybe backsliding in your own life. You know, if you're backsliding right now, you probably know what has caused your backsliding. Hopefully the Holy Spirit is... Come on. Amen. Hopefully the Holy Spirit is maybe doing a little smacking around. You know what causes your backsliding. You know what sin may be in your life. You know exactly what you need to get out and get in your life. We know that, right? We're no dummies. We know what we need to do. You know what you need to do. I know what I need to do. Why is it so hard sometimes to do it? Yeah. We can say amen to the preacher. We can say, hey, good. I probably won't get any. Hey, that was a good message today, preacher. Probably won't get any of that today. But we can say those, you know, good message. Hey, that was great. Boy, I needed that. That was wonderful. We know what we need to do. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Tonight, I'll give you the last two, and it won't be that long. So come tonight, and I'll give you the last two points of the message. Number one is the cause of backsliding. Number two is the consequence. I'll give you the outline, but you better be back here anyway. Number two is the consequence, and number three is the cure of backsliding. We know what the cause is. We're going to find out what the consequence is. And then the good news is there's a cure. There's a cure. If you were sick and dying and somebody had a cure, wouldn't you want it?
Right.
Amen. If a Christian is backsliding, don't you want to know how to get cured from that? Uh-huh. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us. Lord, please continue to work in our lives and hearts. Lord, I'm asking right now that you would show every single one of us